Good morning. Welcome to our program. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening this morning. Hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, we'll give you meeting times of our services at Harrisburg. We encourage and invite you to any of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We're looking at the subject, the kingdom, the present event or something that has already happened. Last week, we began a study of the subject of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is a pivotal chapter of the premillennial mindset that teaches that the kingdom is yet to come and that it's a literal physical kingdom on earth for a period of 1,000 years. I do want to correct something from last week. I said Matthew 24 has absolutely nothing to do with the end of time. That's not completely true. Verses 36 to the end of the chapter, along until the end of chapter 25, have a direct application to the end of time. But the verses used by the premillennial in this text to teach of a future kingdom and a physical kingdom on earth and a millennium on earth have absolutely no context or reference in any part of Matthew chapter 24. Last week, we finished looking at the setting of our text. And so we went back and looked at some of the preceding chapters. And we finished up last week looking at chapter number 21. And we noticed that the Jews were cast out and that the kingdom would be taken from them and given to another nation because of their refusal to accept Jesus Christ. In chapter 22, we have the final debate. Debated between the Herodians over whether it's lawful for the Jews to give tribute to Caesar in verses 15 through 22. He debated the Sadducees regarding the marital state of women in the resurrection that had been a wife to seven brothers, situation and a hypothetical situation that they thought Jesus couldn't answer, and he correctly showed them that marriage was neither given in heaven or done in heaven because it is a spiritual state. Marriage was a flesh and blood institution. And then in verse 34 through 39, he debated a Pharisee, who was a lawyer over which the commandments of the law were the greatest. And then he counters with his own question, beginning in verse 42 through verse 46. Well, that sets us to chapter number 23. Chapter 23 is a judicial sentence that's going to be passed down. The antagonism between Christ and the Jewish leaders was coming to a climax in Matthew 23. In a series of woes, Jesus denounces the scribes and Pharisees as hypocrites, blind guides, fools, whited sculptures, serpents, and a generation of vipers in verse 13 through 33. He accuses them of shutting up the kingdom of heaven against men, extortion, false teaching, lack of judgment, and of mercy and of faith. In verse 32, Jesus declares, "Fill ye up the measure of your fathers." This generation of Jews would fill up the cup to overflowing. With the rejection of God's Son and the crucifixion approaching, the patience of God was coming to a quick end. The judicial sentence is truly a death sentence upon the nation of Israel. In verses chapter 23, 36 through 38. Judgment would come upon this generation and for all the righteous blood shed. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 23 because it is important that we read the end verses of chapter 23 as they have a direct reference point to the things that we will discuss in chapter number 24. Now, we'll begin reading in verse number 34. Matthew 23, verse number 34. "Therefore, indeed I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Merari, who was murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Notice the emphasis on this generation, not future generations on this generation. And then listen to verse 37 through verse 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you should say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, behold, your house is left to you desolate. God had forsaken the temple, which had once been his dwelling place. No longer will it be called his house, as it was in Matthew 21, verse 13. The house of God was now a house of desolation, and being a house of desolation, its destruction was inevitable. But notice verse 37, dear listener. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets, stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you as children gather, as a hen gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. He is looking at the city of Jerusalem, and he is weeping. Why? Because he foresees what is going to happen in that generation. In that generation, the fall and destruction of Jerusalem, the centerpiece of Jewish religion, and the centerpiece of those who believe they are the chosen nation of God, is going to come to a swift, complete, and final ending. And he sees this in the future, not many days from the time of his ascension back to his Father. He wanted to help them. He wanted to protect them. But on every turn, they rejected him. You remember the debate we had in chapter 22, where the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees all try to trip him up and confuse him in order that they might find fault against him. And then in Matthew 23, it comes to a climax, when the antagonism between the Lord and the Jew, especially its leaders, come to a pivotal climax. And Jesus denounces them because of their hypocrisy, of being blind guides, of being fools, of being a viper, a generation of vipers. And he accuses them of isolating the kingdom away from others and trying to keep it to themselves. And he tells them in verse 32 to fill up the measure of your fathers. And then he tells them in verse 38, your house is left to you desolate. You see, everything is in place beginning in chapter 21 through chapter 23 to the events that he is going to predict in chapter 24. They have a direct application to that generation, the generation of Jews, the generation of Jewish leaders who thought that Jesus was not the Messiah, who did not recognize his claim to deity, who did not recognize his claim to be the one sent from the Father. And for that objection and for those who did not believe it, they would lead to working with the Romans to rid themselves of Jesus in order that they would not have to deal with him or his followers. And they thought by killing him that that would end the opposition to their rule and to their authority. Yet they did not understand that killing him was part of God's plan, something that was determined before the world began. And when in the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said it was by the predetermined foreknowledge of God. It had already been a foregone conclusion that the Jews would reject Christ and that they would put him to death. But by so doing, they did not stop the cause. They did not stop the movement. They only hastened it to spread and to become what it is today. And so, in all of these chapters that precede chapter number 24, in chapter 21, the Jews are cast out. In chapter 22, you have the final debate between those warring factions within the Jewish sects, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the Pharisees. You have Jesus passing a judicial sentence down in Matthew 23 to show the hypocrisy. And all of this climaxes at the end of chapter 23 that their house is going to be left to them desolate. And so now the stage is set for what takes place in Matthew chapter number 24. And I would ask you to take your Bible out and turn to Matthew chapter 24. We want to read the first three verses. And that will be as far as we get in our study today. And we will continue, Lord willing, on next Lord's Day. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus went on and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" Now, immediately after the judicial sentence of Matthew 23 is pronounced by Jesus himself, that their house is going to be left to them desolate, Matthew 24 declares the complete destruction of the centerpiece of that house, and that is the temple that is in the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, in chapter 24, verse 1, Jesus departs from the temple, never to return again. This will be his last time. In verse 1, the disciples are stunned by the pronouncement that he gave to the Jews in Matthew 23, verse 36 and 38, and they come to show him the buildings of the temple. They're confused. How could the centerpiece of Jewish religion and the holy city of Jerusalem and that temple where God placed his name, how could that be left in desolation? And in Matthew 24, verse 2, Jesus emphatically declares, emphatically, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This destruction was to be accompanied by tribulation such as the world had never witnessed before. When Jerusalem was finally destroyed in 70 AD, Josephus wrote, "There was left nothing to make those who had come thither believe there had ever been inhabitation there, as if it had never been inhabited." And so, Jesus has plainly told the disciples that that beautiful structure that Herod rebuilt, that beautiful temple, that not one stone of that temple would be left upon another. That temple was coming down, and everything about it was going to crumble, and it was going to be destroyed, and that it was going to be left to the nation of Israel desolate. That pronouncement would be devastating to a Jew. That would be devastating, and it would be difficult to comprehend. Therefore, the questions of verse 3. Next Lord's Day, we're going to look at those three questions. Because there are three questions there. Two of them you could couple together. But Jesus is going to answer those questions in verses 3 through 35. And we will discuss those answers the next time we come together. Thank you for listening. Until then.